So maybe time for some questions about this and comments. Yeah.
I believe you were talking about taking recently you were talking about taking the subconscious thought and separating it from you and then putting the blame on self-care. Can you go back over that?
Okay.
Because I thought that was really good maybe.
Sure. Okay. So there's a way, and it's an important thing, you know, to really realize that our self-centeredness is not us. Okay? It's just a thought, it's just an attitude, it's not who we are. You gotta write this one in big letters, okay? And look at it every day. My self-centeredness is not me. Okay? Because you know the nature of our mind is that we have a clear light nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is spacious. Yeah. This self-centered thought is just a cloud in it. The clouds are not the same as the sky. The mind is like the sky. The self-centeredness is like the cloud. So the cloud's not the same as the sky. The self-centeredness is not who we are. Okay, it's something that's there, but it can be removed. Okay, so if we look in that way, that at our self-centeredness, this thought is not me. Yeah, it kind of makes me nuts sometimes, and I follow it. You know, who's my guru? The self-centeredness. Yeah, whose instructions do I follow? Oh, my self-centeredness. Who do I pay homage to? Oh, my self-centeredness. You know, it's true. Yeah. Who's my president? Oh, who's my king? Well, who do I pay homage to? Well, always our self-centered thought. So if we can realize it's not us. Yeah. And then when we have some misery and we can see how our self-centered thought was involved in the creation of the misery, then instead of feeling I'm miserable, we look at the self-centered thought and we say, you are the one that created the cause for it. Here, you take the misery. Okay, we give the pain to the self-centered thought. Okay, and then we go, oh, self-centered thought, you thought you were such a big guy, now you're miserable. Okay. So you really separate out your self-centered thought from you. This happened. I've been able to do this, you know, sometimes with success off and on. But one of the strongest times when I was actually able to do it was when I was on pilgrimage in Tibet. This was in 1987. And we were going to this lake, the Lamo Lhotso Lake, where it's at 18,000 feet where they look for the they go and do puja and then images appear in the lake and that's how they look for the next Dalai Lama. So it's a very special lake that one of the bodhisattvas named Pelden Lamo, she's said to be her lake. Anyway, we were on pilgrimage there, so I was with maybe five other people, something like that. So there was one Western monk, you know, there, and me and a few other people, and we were riding horses to go to this lake. It was like a 3-day journey there and then, you know, coming back. And so we were crossing one stream, and you know, my friend, this monk, his horse stopped in the middle of the stream. You know, and it's like, you know, you don't want to be stuck on top of a horse in the middle of a stream. You know, his horse was just really being very uncooperative, and he was getting quite upset by it. You know, he was just getting really agitated and upset and, you know, and everything. So finally, when his horse got across the stream, I said to him, you know, my horse is okay. If you want to change horses, it's okay with me. Because, you know, he was so upset, and I thought, you know, there's no reason, you know, eventually your horse gets there. So I said, you know, we can switch horses. Well, he got furious at me. he got so mad at me and just like was really taking out all of his, I guess his frustration with the horse, but it was coming out on me. And he was remembering all these things that happened years ago. And you know, when we, you know, you did this, and then when we were here, you did that, and when we were here, you did that, because I had known him for many years. And you did this and that, and also when you were living here, so-and-so told me you did that, and when you were living there, so-and-so told me you did that. And just really giving it to me, and I'm going, whoa, you know. And it's like, I'm usually this person, I mean, like, I don't like getting criticized. I want anybody to like me. And here's, I mean, he's really letting it out. And so somehow the idea popped into my mind, I need to practice this technique, you know, because, okay, why am I receiving all this criticism? Well, because I've dished out criticism. Yeah. I mean, who knows what I did previous life, but even this life I've given people enough criticism. Yeah? So there's no wonder I'm getting some criticism back. So what lies behind my criticizing other people? My self-centered thought. Why do I criticize other people? Because I'm self-centered. You know? Okay? So then I thought, okay, the self-centered thought is behind creating the negative karma that's bringing this result of this person dumping on me in the middle of this broad, open, peaceful landscape of Tibet. So I said, okay, all this pain and suffering from getting criticized, I'm giving it to my self-centered thought. And I just said, self-centered thought, you take it and you take that. And so everything he said, I imagined, you know, I just made up a little self-centered thought here, and I just directed it, all these harsh words, to that self-centered thought. And then it was incredible because, you know, when we set up camp that evening, my mind was really peaceful. And usually after somebody criticizes me and dumps on me, I'm like, you know, miserable. But my mind was so peaceful. And I thought, oh, that's because I did that. I just gave all that suffering to the self-centered thought because it was the one that made me speak bad about somebody. Yeah. And so next time it's sitting there chattering away saying, if you talk bad about somebody else, it means you're better than them. What kind of logic is that? But anyway, I believe it. You know, next time self-centered thought kind of gives me that kind of logic, you know, put somebody else down, so that means you're better, then I'll look at it and I'll say, self-centered thought, I'm not listening to you because last time I did, I got myself in trouble. I created this negative karma. So this time, you're telling me to trash somebody else and I'm not going to do it. Okay? But it's so important. The self-centered thought has to be out there. If you mistake it and put self-centered thought in here, then you're falling into self-hatred, which is self-centered thought. Okay? So you got to be really careful here. And because what is all our self-hatred? Isn't it just another form of self-centered thought? Yeah? I'm so bad. I'm so lousy. I can't do anything right. I'm deficient like this. I'm untalented. I'm not smart. I'm not athletic. I'm not beautiful. I'm not artistic. I can't do music. I can't do... I'm always so angry. I'm always so attached. I don't really love people. Everything's wrong with me. I always make a mess. Isn't that pretty self-centered? Yeah? But that's our mantra, isn't it? Yeah, I'm so lousy, I'm so terrible. It's all just, you know, this rubbish thought. This rubbish thought that is not us. So we just identify that thought as the culprit and then we say, I'm not listening to you. It's like if you have a friend, somebody who you really trust and you follow their advice, and then you realize that the whole time that friend's been manipulating you. Yeah? Then are you going to trust that person after that? No way. Yeah? When, you know, you may have trusted them for years and years and years, but when you finally figure out that they've been manipulating you and harming you the whole time and causing you misery the whole time, you're going to, you know, then you're going to turn, and when they say something, you're going to say, forget it. You know, I've discovered you. You can't do that to me anymore. Yeah? And so it's the same thing. When we see that the self-centered thought has been harming us so much, then we turn on, you know, and it's been manipulating us and giving us all this bad advice, then we turn on it and we say, you know, I'm not listening to you anymore. Because you're the one who's made me feel bad about myself. And you're the one who's made me arrogant. Yeah? And so we just recognize it for what it is. And then, you know, when it comes sitting there with all of its colorful things saying, follow me and I'll make you happy. We go, no, you won't. You know, I know who you are already. Okay? Uh-huh.
When I meditate and I either get really distracted or physically sleepy, either my mind flies around or I get really sleepy and I start braiding myself, I'll never be able to meditate, this never happened. Should I actually stop the meditation and switch to the kind of meditation about that where you separate it out and try to return to some of the ideal that another time?
Yeah, you know, you can see, because if you get really into, you know, discouraging yourself, that could be, try that, play with this, okay? What I'm describing, just play with it, have a playful attitude, and say, oh, look, I'm trashing myself again. Put that attitude, trashing yourself, you know, you're making me miserable. And, you know, why am I falling asleep? Because of you, because you're the one who made me create the karma to fall asleep when I'm meditating. And why am I so distracted, seeking one sense object after another one? Because you know, you self-centered thought, you're telling me that those things are going to make me happy, and they aren't. So why am I distracted to start with? It's your fault. And why am I beating myself up for being distracted? It's your fault. So shut up. Yeah?
I'll try that. The thing that I had seemed to be a little bit of an epiphany is this self-referencing. So we're not only underestimating or overestimating our own qualities, meaning becoming proud and arrogant or being really, really self-hateful, but then we do the same thing outwardly. So the self-centeredness not only has all of our time on the inside, internal dialogue, but then it's also with the attachment and the aversion, is over-exaggerating the positive qualities and the negative qualities of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like since this teaching, I haven't seen the attachment and the aversion out there as strongly the doings of the self-centered thought as much as I thought it was this some kind of misdirected something else. But it's like my whole life is this delusion. Totally circumambulating me. Not only on the inside, you know, the self-hate or the arrogance, but then there's this whole reference to what's in it for me going outward all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that my entire day is spent either inner self-referencing or outer self-referencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This person can help me. They're wonderful. This person harms me. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Referencing everything to the self. Yeah. This person says something nice about me. Oh, they're good. They said something nice about somebody who I don't like. They're bad. Somebody said something horrible to me. They're bad. Somebody said horrible to the person I don't like. They're good. You know? Always the whole thing is in terms of how they relate to me. And so what we're trying to do here is broaden. This is where the meditation on equalizing and exchanging self with others comes in. You know, where we see, you know, we're all sentient beings who have Buddha potential, so we're all equally important. Mm-hmm. We all want to be happy and avoid suffering. So we're all equally important that way. So instead of just all the constant self-referencing, it's more a thing of, you know, we're all part of sentient life, and how can we benefit sentient life as a whole, instead of how can I carve out my little protected niche in it where my ego reigns supreme. And I think this is one of the painful aspects of the individualism that we're raised with in this country. You know, we're taught to be so individualistic and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and make something of yourself. And so we develop this image of a very lonely I. Yeah? Don't we? You know, this image of a lonely I who has to be somebody to prove themselves. Yeah? Instead of we are just part of, you know, all sentient beings. And so how can this part do something good for all sentient beings? You know, ourself and others. So let's just sit quietly for a few minutes and think about this. Think about what you heard. Tie it to your life.